B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
From the Philadelphia Inquirer, Keith Pompey and all of our fanatic guests appear on the Comcast Business Hotline. Keith, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? How you fellas doing today?
You're sleeping in, aren't you? I know August is a nice time off. We woke you up at 9 o'clock in the morning, didn't we?
Not really. It's weird, Bob. I was in Miami last week, and I came back, and I caught a cold. It's bizarre. It's like, okay, I mean, the weather isn't that much different, but now all of a sudden I got a cold. So
it's those plane rides, Keith. All the germs fester.
They said those tray tables are like one of the dirtiest things you can encounter in public.
I don't know how we want to sink all the time.
Clean a plane?
Oh, it's quick as could be. It's not
people
really
coming in 10 minutes after.
It's not really cleaning.
No.
It's kind of tidying.
Yeah, it's not really.
It's not even dusting, right?
No, not at all. So, Keith, not huge news, but the NBA schedule did come out yesterday, and it's just the part of August that'll keep you involved with the Sixers as fans. I know you're busy with them all the time, but schedule comes out, 9 of the first 13 games on the road. You got a West Coast swing. Anything really stick out to you about this? I know they're the same every year, but there's always some differences that go on. What stuck out to you?
I like to travel for the Sixers. You know, if you think about it, there's one trip, like the L.A. trip in March, and
yeah.
I know this is, I'm going months down the road. I mean, they play the Clippers, then they play the Lakers, then they, you know, fly to Northern Cal to play Sacramento and then Golden State. And when you look at it, a team like the Sixers, where you have Joel Embiid, you know, we know about his health problems, and you got a couple older guys now, they're not flip-flopping all across the country anymore. Early on, I know a lot of people are saying 9 of the first 13 are on the road. But I think that, and you know this too, by dealing with Brett Brown, he kind of likes it when his team is on the road, because then they have a chance to do team bonding. And I think that they can do this early. And a lot of times when you go on the road, sometimes you want to knock it out early. Against Atlanta, Detroit, Portland, Phoenix, Utah, Denver. Now, during that stretch, the Portland, Phoenix, Utah, Denver, we're really going to get a good idea of what we have in the Sixers.
Yeah.
Because they're going to play three of the elite teams in the Western Conference right there. But I don't have a problem with them going on the road early, just because, you know, the way Brett Brown always says, hey, guys get to know each other. You know, if they're home after a game, they go their own separate ways. You know, after practice, they go on separate ways. But when they're in a road, you know, there's a chance that they may hang out, do a dinner, do things like that. So I think for this new team, it's going to be a lot of team bonding.
Hey, Keith, it's Jamie here. What do you make of the first month of the Sixers' schedule? It appears to be a pretty brutal start to the year. I guess they'll get tested early on and often. Maybe we'll have a pretty good idea what this team is after the first month. What did you make of that first month?
You know, I looked at it, but, you know, like I said, these three games, we'll find out what they have. At the same time, we do know the Sixers are going to have to play these teams. You know, right now, the Sixers, we're looking at these schedules, and they're looking at the Sixers saying, oh, wow, we got the Sixers on this day. You know, so, you know, right, the Sixers are the team of the unknown. I mean, they can be the best team in the league. They could drop to the third best. We don't know yet. But at the same time, talking about the Eastern Conference, but at the same time, I really don't get into it like that. I mean, I look at, to be honest with you, the travel. I mean, Bob can attest, there was a time once when we flew all the way to Golden State, then came back to Memphis, and then came back to East Coast and went right back out west. And when you have a guy like Embiid and Al Horford and all these guys, the fact that they're like playing teams in close proximity, I think that helps out a lot as far as with rest, you know?
Keith, now that you had a chance to kind of digest everything that they've done and what other teams have done throughout the league with the draft, with free agency, and now everything's kind of settled until training camp gets started, how would you judge the Sixers offseason? If you had to grade it or whatever, however you want to put it, how do you look at their offseason and what they did?
You know, I think they made big-time splashes, you know, with you know, going out there and getting Josh Richardson, the fact that Jimmy Butler didn't come back. Josh Richardson is a poor man's Jimmy Butler. You know, Al Horford was the guy that they got. He's like the headliner now. But again, you know, my question is, who's going to be the closer? Like, who's going to be the alpha dog? Who's going to be the guy that's going to close? Some people are saying it could be Tobias. Maybe it can, but we have to find that out. And then also, you know, the point guard situation. Now, I know that Trey Burke is coming in here, and he's a scorer. But, you know, we want to see who's going to be, you know, if he's going to step up and assume that role like he did in New York. And the shooter. I think that J.J. Redick, I know a lot of people, you know, talk about, you know, J.J. It was a defensive liability. But I think they're going to miss his offensive presence big time.
I agree.
You know, I think that can Furkan Korkmaz step up? Is there someone else on the roster that's going to step up? So those are the three major questions that I have. But, you know, initially when you look at it, you're like, wow, this is great. Until you figure out right now who is going to assume Jimmy Butler's closing role and who's going to replace J.J. Redick as the shooter.
Yeah, Keith, it's interesting. Shouldn't Joel Embiid step up into that closer role? I guess it's a two-part question. Should he? And two, can a center be a closer in today's NBA?
I don't think so. I mean, as much as dominant as Shaq was, when the game was on the line, they spread the floor and they gave the ball to Kobe. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. you know, and the reason being is there's so much that has to go right and before the center gets the ball. Like, there's so much that has to go right before you give Embiid the ball. So primarily you want a perimeter player who's going to be the closer. And if I'm the Sixers, I'm hoping and I'm praying that it's going to be Tobias or maybe Ben Simmons can step up in that role. But, you know, as dominant as Embiid is, you know, I think that, you know, with 5 seconds left on the clock, you got to set screens. You got to, you know, throw the ball at the right spot. You got to hope someone doesn't steal it. And whereas you just give the ball to someone and let them go to work if it's a perimeter player.
Keith, 6 years ago yesterday, do you know what happened?
That's when they hired Brett, right?
Yeah, very good. That's when they hired Brett Brown. So we're 6 years in, a full 6 years. How do you, I know it's hard to sum up quickly, but how do you kind of sum up what's going on with Brett Brown, the positives, maybe the negatives of his tenure so far?
You know, it's weird because if you would have said to me 6 years ago that, well, if you had said to me 4 years ago that Brett Brown would still be the coach, I'm like, come on, Bob, would you drinking with him or something, bro? Like, come on now. But at the same time, I mean, you look at it and you're like, wow. You know, I mean, he's had his detractors, and there's been a lot of people saying, like, he can't do this or he can't do that. But this is the first time that he's really gone into a season and saying, hey, I can just coach. I mean, even up to last year, we still had the Markelle Fultz situation looming. You know, now he has a bona fide NBA roster, you know, where we don't have guys with the yips or guys with the shoulder injury, whatever you want to call it. And I think that we'll learn a lot about Brett Brown now, you know, and hey, let's face it, you know, he withstood the test of time. It's funny too, when you think of the Sixers as a whole. I mean, I thought about this a couple of days ago. Like I was down at the National Association of Black Journalists Conference, and in year two of the process, when you go there, you have to say who you are. Like, I'm Keith Pompey. I cover the Sixers for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And people start laughing at me and calling me poor baby. Now you say you're Keith Pompey. You know, you write for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And you're like, wow, you cover a great team. And it's like, so you look at it and you're talking about how Brett has, you know, experienced all that, you know, from holding his head up high, trying to keep everyone positive, to now it's like this team is like one of the most sought after teams in regards to fans and everything in the NBA, and is a team that is, you know, a contender to win the championship this year. I mean, he's really come a long way.
Yeah, Keith, you said you were down in Miami. I assume maybe you were scouting Josh Richardson's old coaches and getting some word on him. I'm just kidding. But Josh Richardson's kind of like the forgotten addition, almost in a way, of this offseason. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about the missed JJ shooting. I think Josh Richardson can give you not exactly what JJ did, but hopefully near. If he can get up around that 37-38% from three, you know, I think the defense he gives you on top of it could, you know, calm some of those fears. Can you talk about Josh Richardson and kind of the role he's going to have? And, you know, I'm sure a lot of Sixers fans don't know a ton about him. But if you could just talk about Josh and what he's going to bring to the team.
You know, Josh Richardson, from what I'm told, is kind of like a poor man's Jimmy Butler. You know, he can do things like that, like Jimmy. He's not quite there. You know, some say he's a better shooter, you know, than Jimmy was, you know, at that stage. You know, he's a quality defender. Now, a big question mark for me is just like, how is Josh Richardson going to fit in this role? You know, because there's been times when, you know, there are guys who come with similar skill sets that Josh Richardson has who come here, a la like Robert Covington, you know, where they become 3-and-D guys, you know, and if you look at Josh, that might be something that the Sixers would probably like for him to do. The only thing is, everyone can't fit into that mold. So it's a matter of, you know, he's going to, like in Miami, they were struggling last year. And there's a reason why he had a pretty good year. I mean, they were struggling. Now he's going to go somewhere where, depending on Ben Simmons, he's either going to be the fourth or the fifth option. So I have to figure out, or he has to figure out, or Brett Brown has to figure out too, you know, how's the best way to utilize him. Because, you know, he's a young guy. You know, he sees that his career, each year he's getting better and better, and is one that you want to get him engaged. So to me right now, the best way to utilize him is the number one question in regards to Josh Richardson. Is he just going to be a defender who stands in the corner and shoots threes? Is he going to be someone that you're going to give the ball and say, go to work? So, you know, to me, that's another big question mark. Now, I think he's a great ball player, a good up-and-coming ball player, rather, but it's just that they just have to find a way to get him utilized, you know, with all the other quality players they have on the team.
All right, Keith, I need you to take off your beat writer hat, put on your father hat, your beautiful daughter, Mara. Imagine, you're not a Sixers beat writer. You're just, a radio guy. You have a chance to go to the Sixers game on Christmas Day, sit in the owner's seats, courtside of the Milwaukee Bucks, nonetheless, but you get to sit courtside. However, it's your daughter's first Christmas. What do you do? Do you go to the game or do you stay home with Mara and your lovely wife?
Wow. Man.
That's a 2 o'clock game.
2:30.
A 2 o'clock is not a plus one, right?
No.
It's not a plus one. I don't know. I think I'll have to stay at home. You know why? Because guess what happens? Then when I come back, the keys might be changed on Christmas.
All right. Well, you and I are on the same side on that one, Keith. Listen, appreciate you joining us, and we will be talking to you probably before the season gets started and an awful lot during the season.
All right, fellas. And keep up the good work, yo.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.